Hello there, and welcome to the 13th day of the Superhero Marathon and to the final installment of the Fantastic Four radio program. And this one's a doozy. It does suffer, unfortunately, from some of the sound effects overwhelming the speech of what people are saying. And there's a lot of, and in the beginning of this, there's a lot of people thinking, and so there's an echo to their voice, but it's, I don't know, to me it was distorted and I couldn't exactly make out what they were saying without a lot of effort. So just a warning there. But yes, this is the 13th and final episode of the Fantastic Four on the radio, and it's titled The Submariner Strikes. So let's go ahead and run the show. I got the Lamperdine temporal radio tuner here. Come with me and let's journey under the sea.
What do they got? A lot of sand? We got a hot crustacean band. Each little clown here know how to jam here under the sea.
Forgive my interruption, but I was just made aware of the unfortunate passing of Miss Lucy. I wish to offer my condolences.
I should be able to save the canal with my aquatic telepathy.
Following Aquaman's metal commands, dozens of porpoises speed into the canal's entrance, forming a dam.
Gertrude, I just can't believe that you'd want to audition for that job.
But I don't. That's what I told Ted. I said, Ted, I don't want to audition. And he said, why not? And I said, that's just not me. And he said, then who is it? And I said, Mary.
Me?
You'd be perfect, Mary.
Attention, all true believers. Marvel Comics is on the air. Straight from the pages of the world's greatest comic magazine come the adventures of the Fantastic Four. This week, we'll see the first rematch with a villain from the past, the fearless foursome face, Prince Namor, the Submariner.
At last, we meet again. This time, it is on my terms.
The undersea monarch versus Comicdom's greatest superheroes, and Stan will begin our epic in just half a moment.
Having last week defeated the Red Ghost on the moon, the Fantastic Four are nearly home and headed for more adventures.
We've just received radio clearance from the field.
I better take over the controls now. It's almost time to land this crate.
Okay, partner, but this bird practically flies herself.
I wonder if we'll get much of an ovation when we land.
As the mighty moonship prepares to land, the excitement on the ground reaches a fevered pitch as all eyes scan the skies above until...
There they are! I see them!
Get those emergency vehicles over there. I'm the double.
It's them, all right. I see the number four on the tail.
As the ship comes to a stop...
Oh, there he is, Mr. Fantastic!
Help! I can't hold these things back!
Oh, I died for a lock of his hair!
Easy now, girls. Let's not lose our dignity.
That boy's poking too much.
I saw him first.
No, he's mine.
What a shot. Too fantastic. Meanwhile, as at every major event, there's someone cashing in on the action.
And my fearless wrestler, the Golden Angel, challenges the Thing to a fight to the finish.
Did you get all that, boys?
I'm all a crummy cornball. So you're the Golden Angel, are you? Well, I ain't fighting you. Because you're too tough for me.
And Sue Storm has her troubles.
But you can't turn this down, a lifetime contract in Hollywood.
Don't listen to him, Miss Storm. I'm prepared to offer you a fortune for endorsement of our new deodorant on TV.
Oh, leave me alone.
Hey, where did she go?
Some people just ain't got no gratitude.
But finally, they get away from the madding crowd and reach their famous Baxter Building headquarters in Midtown Manhattan. Within a few hours, things are back to normal.
There, that ought to wrap up this report to NASA about our new rocket fuel.
I'll ask Sue to type it up so we can send it off to Washington by special courier. Oh,
Oh, there she is, working with my new experimental probing eye. Looks like she's searching the bottom of the sea.
So there you are. I've been looking for you.
Reed, you startled me.
I'm sure I know why.
You're still thinking about Submariner, aren't you, Sue?
Well, I...
No need to answer. Sometimes I wish you could find him so we could settle things between us once and for all. Anyway, here's that report for NASA. A few minutes later...
Strange how no one is ever really master of his own fate. I've always thought I could accomplish almost anything with my scientific talents and my superflex body. The world knows me as Mr. Fantastic, and yet I'm unable to win my most cherished goal. I cannot conquer the heart of the woman I love.
But, back in the screening room...
I might as well recall the probing eye. The oceans are too vast, too deep, too endless. Submariner could be anywhere.
And at a signal from thousands of miles away, the probing device is lifted from the sea and heads back to New York City. This marvel, created by the scientific genius of Reed Richards, is to Sue Storm just a means to contact the monarch of the sea, a means which failed. And in a seedy sanitarium on the outskirts of town, a scene is taking place which will have far-reaching consequences for our fantastic cast of characters.
There's no need for you to stay here any longer, sir. You're cured.
Oh, I know that. I've been cured for months. I have only stayed here to let the world forget me. But you would not understand that.
After leaving the rest home, the strange little man wanders into a city park and begins to whittle, muttering to himself.
The fools thought they killed me months ago, but how wrong they were. Now it is time for me to come out of hiding, to plan a fitting revenge for the accursed Fantastic Four. I shall not risk my own neck, however. A scapegoat will do the job for me. But
who?
Some old enemy. Perhaps the Mole Man, or the Hulk. No, the Four beat them in the past, and they might do it again. Dr. Doom once brought them to a standstill, but he's vanished from the Earth. Wait, I have it. The ideal tool for my friends. The mighty Submariner. He shall do the bidding of the Puppet Master.
Even as the Puppet Master makes his preparations, many fathoms beneath the sea which is his kingdom, the legendary Submariner, still searching for some trace of his vanished people, finds a startling clue.
At last, traces of an unofficial ship. Proof that my people have been here within the past decade. With every new discovery, I come closer to finding my race, the Submariners. It is they I seek to claim my royal heritage.
But suddenly, as though struck by some unseen hand, the mighty Prince Namor comes to a sudden stop. Some powerful occult force takes control of his body.
Oh, what's happened?
Like a man in a trance, he returns to his headquarters, looking neither right nor left.
I have a mission to perform. I cannot disobey. The Puppet Master commands it.
Upon reaching his private quarters, Submariner flings open heavy drapes and faces the strangest form of undersea life, the wondrous Mento Fish, which can sense human thoughts and transmit them to any point on Earth through mental energy. Facing the awesome creature, the only fish of its type in the world, Namor thinks but one thought over and over.
Storm. This is Submariner. Meet me. Meet me. Sue.
And following silent instructions whispered in her mind, Sue finds herself at a deserted pier on New York's Lower East Side.
I'll stay invisible until I see whether or not it's a trap. No, it couldn't be a trick. It's him. I'd recognize him anywhere. Namor, I've come as you asked. But why don't you speak? Say something.
The sea monarch wordlessly moves aside to reveal a fluttering hypnofish behind him, with its single hypnotic eye focused upon Sue.
He is under your spell. Now do as I have instructed.
And at Namor's command, the amazing creature forms a huge air bubble around the docile figure of Sue Storm, and then...
Into the sea with her!
To await further instructions from the Puppet Master.
And so, having blindly followed her heart, the invisible girl has unwittingly set the stage for one of the Fantastic Four's most dangerous adventures, and a grinning figure gloats over his success.
And now it is time for step two of my plan.
The puppet master is in his hideout, making new effigies.
My revenge will be much sweeter if I do not use the Fantastic Four, but leave them free while the Submariner under my control defeats them.
Meanwhile, back at their skyscraper headquarters, the Fantastic Four are still unaware of the dire danger which awaits them.
Hey, how much longer do I have to hold this? Feels like it weighs 10 tons.
It does. I'm testing the exact limits of your strength once and for all.
Well, tell that blazing brat to stop flying around here or I'm gonna...
Hey, who's that over there?
It's Submariner! Out of my way!
I'm way ahead of you, pal. Hey, what gives? My fireball went right through him.
Oh, yeah? Well, my fist won't... Well, there's nothing there. Just a ghost or something.
There's more to this than meets the eye. That's not Namor at all, but a mental projection of him. Remember, that's one of his powers.
And I have come to tell you I have Sue Storm as my prisoner. I defy you to invade my other suzerain in an attempt to rescue her. Or, if you do, I shall destroy you all. Farewell!
What are you doing with my sister?
He's gone.
And we're going after him. We'll rip up half the ocean if we have to, but we'll get Sue back.
And in a Navy surplus, one-man submarine...
I have done it. I have assembled my little cast of characters, and the stage is now set. Let the curtain up, and the action begin. Even though none of my actors know that I, the puppet master, am directing from behind the scenes, I shall witness the final demise of my archenemies at the hands of my powerful pawn, the Submariner.
Reed, Ben, and Johnny are aboard the Fantastic Car, heading into the most complex problem of their careers.
Just in case we don't return, we'd better leave the keys to our secret files with the Commissioner.
Are you kidding? What chance does that animated sardine have against us?
Reed's right, Gruesome.
All right, then while you campfire boys are doing your good deed, I'm going to say goodbye to Alicia.
Meet us at our private pier in half an hour.
See you later, Romeo.
You lousy squirt.
I just don't want her worried about where I am. Here's a good place to leave this flying hot rod.
Oh, what's this? Hey, you can't park that thing here. This lot is for parking cars, not flying saucers.
Where you been, old man? Ain't you never seen a car with wings before?
Well, there's nothing in the rule book about cars with wings. Just to play it safe, I better charge you double rates in advance.
What? Double? Yeah. Here's your dough, Smiley. Go split it with your partner, Jesse James.
And a few minutes later, at Alicia's apartment...
Oh, Ben, I'm frightened. The Submariner is so powerful, so unpredictable. He will be facing him where he is the strongest, in his own domain.
Well, you know, Reed, Johnny, and yours truly ain't exactly babes in arms.
But, Ben, if anything should happen to you, I don't know what I'd do. You mean... so much to me, and I'd be alone with no one to look after me.
Okay, Alicia, honey. I'll take you with us, huh? Whatever happens, we'll be together.
And so, at the appointed time, in the appointed place...
Hi, Ben. Hello, Alicia. I kind of thought Ben would bring you along. Welcome aboard.
What? I was all set for a knockdown hassle about why she can't come with us. Hey... what's this thing?
Admiral Sawyer was good enough to loan us this experimental bathysphere, no questions asked.
Let's all get aboard so we can get started. Lots of work ahead.
Watch your step, Alicia.
And as the undersea quest for Submariner begins...
Tell me, how are we going to find Fishman anyway? This is a pretty big ditch.
I suspect that he inhabits the very deepest regions of the sea, such as the area we're in now. Be on your guard. He could be observing us this minute.
Yeah?
Let him observe all he wants.
When we find him... I'm gonna mop up the ocean floor with him.
Why do you all hate him so?
But before Alicia's question can be answered...
Look at that.
We're being attacked by some kind of undersea porcupine.
Those quills can't hurt us, but this must only be the beginning.
Wait, the ship is starting to spin.
We're being swept up in an oceanic tornado.
If this keeps up, this bathysphere will be pulled apart.
Open the escape hatch, Reed. My plane can help.
Good idea, Johnny.
What? Don't let him read. He'll drown out there.
Don't worry, Thing. By making my flame white hot, I can temporarily turn the water into steam and dispel the spinning currents while my flame lasts. Flame on. There, I did it. The tornado's dissipating, but so is my flame. And I can't hold my breath much longer. The water pressure will crush me.
But a strong, supple arm stretches out, and Mr. Fantastic grabs the helpless lad and pulls him into the safety of the bathysphere's interior.
You'll be okay after a little rest.
Sure, as long as Submariner ain't got some other little cute tricks up his sleeve.
So, they've escaped my first traps. Now the battle begins in earnest. Yes, my unsuspecting victims. Come closer, just a little closer. Ah, they are trapped by my ally, the giant scavenger crab.
And then, it could be minutes or hours later, Reed, Ben, Johnny, and Alicia find themselves in Prince Namor's giant undersea living quarters.
You wonder how you came to be here. The scavenger crab gives off a vapor which put you to sleep. Now you are here, and my prisoners.
Don't bet on it, Namor.
Only time will tell whether you've captured us or we have you.
Bah, you do not impress me. Now see the one you so foolishly came to rescue. There. She is confined in an air-filled sphere inside my largest and most prized aquarium, guarded by the mightiest octopus in all the seven seas.
Hey! The octopus is trying to get her.
If any harm comes to my sister...
Easy, Johnny. There's something strange going on. Submariner loves Sue. He wouldn't...
Let's take him.
I will batter each of you, but one at a time, as is the custom of my people. Who will be first?
I will, you fishy creep. Play mine.
I am prepared for you, Torch. There is an undersea creature which devours any kind of heat, and this is it. I shall defeat your frame finally with this heat eater.
Oh. I'm getting weak.
It's working. The creature absorbs your heat like a sponge takes up water.
Oh, no. I'm going to fall.
The human torch. Ah, look at yourself. All that remains is for me to finish you with my bare hands.
Oh, no, you don't, my face. That brave little kid is worth a dozen double crosses like you.
Prince Namor is not a puny, surface person that cringes at the sound of your voice.
Hey, you slippery eel, come back here and fight.
I'll fight you, ugly one. Never fear, but on my terms. Here, a small token of my wish.
Yeah! It's razor sharp.
My dagger needle coral is not to your liking. Perhaps this deep sea fungus will suit you better.
Come over here and fight, you wimp. Hey, what's this?
Ah, didn't I tell you that one piece of fungus grows and spreads out over any living thing it touches? Soon it will engulf your entire body as it grows harder and harder. There, I have beaten you. You are trapped in a living prison from which there is no escape.
Did anyone ever tell you you talk too much?
Good work, big fella. I'll go after him while you rescue Susan.
Right. You stay here, Alicia, honey, and I'll bring you back some octopus pie.
Be careful, Ben.
You fought the others to a standstill by resorting to outside powers. But now it's just you and me, Namor, one-on-one.
The others make the most noise, but they have always sensed that you are their superior. Now you shall see the Submariner is by far your superior.
Thing shattered your living prison. And you cannot escape from this human prison composed of my stretched arm.
Oh. Sooner or later, you'll have to release the tension. And when you do...
Meanwhile, Ben is about to come to grips with Namor's mighty octopus threatening Sue's air-filled sphere.
Don't worry, Sue. Look at the size of that blob. If I could just get his attention.
And get his attention he does. The giant eight-armed guard now gropes for the form of the Thing. But it is the Thing who takes hold of the creature.
Okay, Octo. You're going for a free ride.
Then, as the mindless monster goes hurtling to the top of Namor's enormous sanctum sanctorum, Ben rushes to Sue's chamber and pulls her to safety.
Brave kid. Not a peep out of her.
But another pair of eyes are focused on this tense scene.
Bah! The Fantastic Four are more powerful than I thought. Even in his own undersea lair, Submariner may be beaten by the accursed Four. I can no longer let events take their natural course. Now that the girl is free, Mr. Fantastic has released Namor. The Submariner has not yet attempted to kill them, only defeat them. So long as I hold your effigy, Prince Namor, you must do my bidding. You are to slay the Fantastic Four, just as I have toppled their puppet images.
And what comes of this toppling of the Fantastic Four's effigies by the Puppet Master? In the Submariner's lair...
Namor, let's stop this struggle. Why have you turned against Sue?
Stay back! I must slay you, all of you, now! I have no choice.
Ben, dear, although I cannot see, I sense another sinister presence here, like the presence of my stepfather.
The Puppet Master? That would explain it.
But how?
He's dead, ain't he?
This brunt is my ultimate weapon.
Who are you trying to kid?
Looks like cat tails.
This releases a gas that no surface human can tolerate.
Release the fumes, I command you.
I must release these fumes.
They are your enemies.
You are my enemies. I must kill you.
You are under my power. You must do my bidding.
It is you or me. I must destroy you.
All of you, stay behind me. I ain't so easy to kill, and I'll give you some time.
That's it, thing. You keep him busy while I take some preventative measures.
No! Can't kill! Wait! You intend to release the fumes? What's controlling me?
And as the vapors clear...
You are still alive. But no one can survive exposure to those gases. Not even you.
You think we'd be unprepared for such a threat as that?
These oxygen packets work great.
Here, Alicia, I'll help you with yours.
Now, Namor, for the final reckoning.
It's clobbering time!
Flame on! I want him first.
Wait, listen to me. He doesn't know what he's doing.
What, Alicia?
What are you doing?
Alicia's right. He's under some sort of evil influence.
Stand aside, woman. They do not frighten the Prince Namor!
But unknown to all, the giant octopus, which the thing hurled from Namor's aquarium in the last episode, has crashed through the outer plexiglass skin of Namor's haven. Once more free to ravage the ocean's depths, the mindless monster seeks and finds a new victim.
What's that up ahead? The giant octopus. It's coming toward me. Too late to change course. I'll construct a special effigy. He's coming closer, but no one shall defeat the Puppet Master. Just another
but
second
you
or two.
Cannot control the mind of a mindless creature.
He's going to crash the ship.
And in the same instant, Submariner recoils, as if his mind has received some violent shock.
The pressure is gone.
Look, something's happened to Namor.
No time for that now, Sue. This whole place is filling up with water.
Oh, Sam.
It's okay, honey. We'll get out of this.
What's happening here? How dare you invade my private sanctum? Explain yourselves.
What?
He's either acting or he really was under some kind of spell.
Sue, if you come to me at last...
No, Namor. Much as you fascinate me, my loyalties are still with Reed. As for my heart... Perhaps someday it will be able to make its final choice, but not as yet.
Then enough. I do not beg. I have a mission to complete. Sooner or later, I will locate the lost race of Submariners. And when I do, we shall see to whom this planet really belongs. Now be gone and take this girl with you, Reed Richards.
and hold her if you can. But heed my words. Never shall she forget Prince Namor.
Let's get out of here before Fishman starts reciting Hamlet.
Goodbye, Namor. I hope that someday you'll lose the bitterness in your heart and become our friend.
That is too mild a word for Submariner. Farewell for now.
I wonder, the puppet master controlling the Submariner?
I've never felt a presence like that, except when around my stepfather.
Don't worry, Alicia, honey. You're safe with me around.
Strange. I cannot remember what brought him here, and yet I feel as though a terrible weight has been lifted from me.
This is the last episode in the present cycle of the Marvel Comics radio series. The entire project has been an incredible experience for all of us. The scripts for the next 13 weeks are already being written, so we'll be back soon with more adventures from the mighty land of Marvel. Some of the people that made this series what it is are Richie Becker, Bob Michelson, Ken Landis, Don Bird, Roy Schmecka, Cynthia Hite, Mouse, Carrot, Pencil, Duck, and most of all, you. Thank you. As always, the fantastic cast is
Cynthia Adler,
Bob Maxwell,
Bill Murray,
Jim Pappas,
Gary Gerheiden.
Narration by Smile and Stan Lee. Special sounds created by P. Craig Turner. Any resemblance between characters created in these radio programs and real persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
So there you go. There is the Submariner Strikes from the Fantastic Four radio show. What an episode to end on. It's a strange issue of the comic book. It's always been, well, I don't know if it's always been, but it's just one of those silly Silver Age comic book things that, man, it makes the Submariner look totally lame. You know, you think of, there's a lot of jokes out there about Aquaman and how lame he was, that he can't do anything on the Earth, and he's always relying on, you know, the fish and the whales and stuff, which is kind of cool, but man, everything here with the Submariner, it's like, oh, I want to hypnotize, or I want to telepathically reach Sue. Oh, I just happen to have behind this curtain a tank. He's already underwater. Why does he need a tank? I guess to keep it from going anywhere else. But he has this mento fish that can hypnotize Sue and make her come to him in the ocean. And then to put her in a trance and make her come with him, he has this hypnofish that hypnotizes her to go be with Submariner. And that's how he captures her. And then, you know, when he's fighting the Fantastic Four, oh, I just happen to have this sea creature that its only job is to absorb heat. And so he, you know, takes out the Human Torch with that. And, oh, and the giant clam captures them and brings them. It's kind of comical. And, yeah, I did chuckle a few times listening to this. It's even more comical when you hear it in the radio show than when you're reading it in the comic. Because, I don't know, for some reason when I'm reading a Silver Age comic, some of the stuff you just accept is goofy fun. But when you hear it, It's even more absurd on the radio show. But yeah, I mean, luckily the Submariner has become a much more regal figure and just powerful. And man, he's so lame in this issue. And then the whole thing with the Puppet Master doesn't make any sense. You know, the Puppet Master takes control of Submariner so that he can lead Sue to the Submariner. Why didn't the Puppet Master just take over Sue and Namor and get them together rather than having Submariner do that? I guess it was to show off these weird sea creatures that only Namor knows of and can use. But that's just really strange to me, the way this episode is set up. And then the Puppet Master just happens to get an army surplus or a Navy surplus submarine to observe what's going on here. I don't know, just so convoluted. Everything about this episode is just convoluted. And it's the same with the issue of the comics. And then, like, Alicia, oh, I can't bear you to go face the Submariner. What if something happens to you?
Hey, I got an idea. Why don't you come with us?
Then we'll face everything together. So if I die, you die. It's just weird. And then Reed's like, well, I expected you to bring Alicia along. I don't know. Just a lot of goofy, goofy stuff in this. And then Alicia's voice. Oh, my goodness. Her voice kind of reminded me of, I had to look her up, Georgia Engel. She was on the Mary Tyler Moore show. She was, I think, Ted Knight's, whatever his character was. It was his wife. Anyway, that's going way back, kids, into the 70s TV shows. But anyway, she kind of talks like this. She has a very soft-spoken voice. And that's the way she talks. And what else was she in? She was in another sitcom. Oh, I think it was, Ray Romano. What was that show? Oh, Ray. Everybody Loves Raymond. She was like Robert's wife's mother, parents, or something. His in-laws. Robert's in-laws. Robert was Ray's brother. But anyway, again, if you've never seen Everybody Loves Raymond, then you won't get this reference. But anyway, she just has this really sweet, soft way of talking. And you almost think it's a gag. And it can be, you know, depending on what she's doing. Anyway, that's what Alicia, her voice in here, reminded me of. Oh, Ben. And then she's like, oh, I feel like this is my stepfather, the puppet master. I don't know. It's very annoying, very annoying. But, and then Submariner, I think his ancestors came from Transylvania. His accent is like he's Count Dracula instead of Prince Namor. I thought that was funny. I kept picking up on that. I'm like, oh, he's like Dracula underwater. I just thought that was a strange choice for what Namor's voice would be like. And I don't know if that was the actor that came up with that or if he was directed to sound Transylvanian, but pretty funny. But yeah, man, I'm going to miss hearing Bill Murray play the Human Torch. I think that'd be really funny. I guess he's going to be in Ant-Man, right? Bill Murray is going to be in the new Ant-Man movie. I guess we'll never get to see a gag with him as the Human Torch. But that would be funny if he made some reference to that. All in all, it was a pretty good show. Pretty faithful to the comic book itself. Like I've said the whole way along, they really made some interesting choices on which issues to adapt and what order to put them in. I mean, this one coming right after the Red Ghost episode when they were up on the moon, it makes sense because they're coming back from the moon at the beginning of this episode. So putting those two together make a lot of sense. Yeah, that was issue 14 of the comics. But in the comics, I think this is the fourth appearance of the Silver Surfer. I think this is the fourth appearance of the Submariner. And so he's been in several of these comics. But we only see him twice in the radio show. And I guess it makes sense because after the fourth issue, he says he's going to go look for his lost civilization. You know, his people. He doesn't know where they are and he's looking for them. And then in this issue, they kind of go back to that where he's searching for his people under the sea. But in the comics, you know, he's done a couple other things, which Stan and Jack almost forgot in the comics that the Submariner was looking for his lost people. And so this was kind of let's get back to that. He's under the sea. Yeah, he's like a film director. He like uses the riches from the sea to own a movie studio. And he's going to make a movie and he hires the Fantastic Four to be actors in it. And yeah, it's just really weird stuff that I guess would have been kind of weird for the radio show and probably not what they wanted to do. But it's just kind of interesting to me, as I've talked about all along, the choices that they've made. Why they added the hate monger, I don't know. Like I said, it's probably because Stan really liked that issue and he remembered it fondly and wanted to include it in the radio show. So yeah, this like I said, this is it. This is the last time we're coming back for that. So I'll make you wait till tomorrow to find out what I come back with. It may be some more Fantastic Four conversation without the radio show, just talking about the Fantastic Four, or it might be a totally different old-time radio show. We shall see tomorrow what in the continuing saga of the superhero marathon. Thanks for joining me. I hope you enjoy it here the rest of the month as well. I hope you've enjoyed these radio shows of the Fantastic Four. I've had a lot of fun with it. And I will see you again tomorrow, kids. Bye-bye. This installment of the Superhero Marathon has been produced under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives license, which means that you are encouraged to share this with anybody and everybody, but you can't change it, you can't sell it, and you need to let people know where it came from.